Great to see you. And if you weren't here right at the beginning of the service, let me just let you know that you're really welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us at Ely Mabruswith this morning. You've chosen to give us some of your precious time to be here and to be sharing this morning with us. So we really don't take that for granted. We're really grateful that you're here. And at the moment, we're over the last few weeks and in the coming weeks, we are going through what we call our values in the life of Ely Mabruswith. We have a very simple, if you like, strap line or mission statement, and that is love God and love people. Jesus gave the greatest command. He was being quizzed, actually. They were trying to catch him out. And he was, well, go on then, what is the greatest command of them all? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said those two things are likened to each other. And so we simply seek to put that into practice and make that our desire. But beyond that, we have developed a number of years ago leadership team with some debate and some discussion and some, you know, disagreement and then some consensus. We came and we felt that we could use a number of words that would express two things: either who we already are, kind of the DNA of our church, the things that flow through us as a body naturally, or some things that we might aspire to, some things that we might want our church to represent more or to look more like. And we've called those our values. And this morning is probably the one that gets the most questions or the most raised eyebrows when you mention it, or, you know, what does that mean, or how do we apply that? And hopefully by the end of this morning, we'll all be able to understand what it is that we're on about when we say a people who are vibrant. Would you say vibrant?
Vibrant.
Would you say vibrant?
Vibrant.
That's it. There we go. We've already become more vibrant as a church family. Let me read this passage. In fact, let's read this verse of scripture together. Jesus is explaining himself as the good shepherd. He's telling the people who it is and what it is that he's come for and who he is to us. And he uses this phrase. Let's read these words together. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. That's what we want to represent, and that's what we want to see flowing through the life of our church. So these are our values, our deeply ingrained or our aspirational principles, are people who are Christ-centered, people who are Bible-shaped, are people who are family, people who are vibrant, demonstrate integrity, extend grace, and connect. There are a few websites that I used to obtain free images that are royalty-free that we can use. And one of those is Pixabay. And if you type the word vibrant into Pixabay, this is what you get. Now, that just looks like a picture of our church, right? Maybe not like literally, but this is about brightness and different things all coming together. And if you go to the Collins Dictionary, I really like how it helps to explain what the word vibrant means. It means someone or something that is vibrant is full of life, energy, and enthusiasm. Vibrant colors are very bright and clear. I don't want us to get confused by thinking that we should always have a smile on our face, that we should always be pretending that we're full of joy, that we should always be on top of the world. And even when things are going really rough and things are horrible around, life is treating us really, that we should just ignore it and pretend and walk around like this. I remember, you know, the sort of jokes about, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much. No, but how are you? And we're not supposed to pretend to be anything. So when I say that I feel, and the leadership team feel, that we aspire to or are a church that is vibrant, we're not asking that people pretend to be happy. But we do know that in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, and that in every circumstance and situation, we can draw near to him, and we can find peace, love, comfort, grace, strength, and joy, even in the darkest of times. Now, vibrancy, literally, comes from the same word, obviously, as vibrate. And it means moving, alive. And we believe that church should be full of life. And sadly, too often in the media or at the fault of its own self, the church broadly has been portrayed or misunderstood as being boring, lifeless, or of just being a big old building. Yeah? In our culture and in our time. And that is the opposite of what it should be. So we want to be a people who are vibrant, who are full of life, who are not boring, who are not lifeless. And, well, we aren't just a big old building, are we? We know that the church of God is the people that gather. And the building is really immaterial in some ways. We want to be people who express the life of God. And so we've named this as a value for that reason. Because we believe that, not that it should always be noisy, thank goodness. Not that it should always be buzzing and every activity that we do should be full of energy and I never can get a quiet moment. That's not what we're talking about. Because actually very often the pathway to life is through peace and taking time and rest. But it is that we do express the life of God in the life of Elim Aberystwyth. That's our desire. Amen? And life is central to the biblical narrative from the beginning to the end. Right? At the very outset of Scripture in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as it comes to being, it says that the earth was formless and void. But God keeps speaking, breathing life. And as he speaks, light happens. And as he speaks, animals are created. As he speaks, vegetation fills the land. As he speaks and breathes, the dust is turned into humankind. As God speaks and breathes life, so life is born and life begins. The first thing that we find out about our God in Scripture is what? He is creative. It's the first thing that we discover about God. And then in the next chapter, we discover that God has decided that he is going to create us in his image. What does that mean that we should be? One of the things, I mean, it means we should be lots of things, but one of the things is that it means we should be creative. And I encourage you, creative can be represented, we sometimes just think, well, creative means somebody who's got a paintbrush and is able to use it on a canvas. But being creative is so much more than that. You can be creative in so many different ways. You're creative with how you create in business, creative with how you create in your studies, creative with how you make things. And we are made to express that characteristic of God's character, to be creative. And vibrancy is characterized by having life, energy, and enthusiasm. And if we know the gospel of the kingdom, if we've received the truth of Jesus Christ, we've gone from darkness to light, we've gone from death into life, and we don't have life, energy, and enthusiasm, then something has gone wrong. And I know life is tough. And I know that sometimes we have seasons where it is difficult to be positive. But if we can't find life and enthusiasm in light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then something's gone wrong. Amen? He came that we may have life in all of its fullness. Now, God is a creator of everything, and we have been made to express his image in this way. So at the beginning of Scripture, we see that God created, that he breathed life, that he brought life. And we see at the end of Scripture, towards the end, in Revelation 22, one of the last passages of Scripture, it says that the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. It's about life. About life. I don't know if you're one of the folks in the life of our church who's been through the Bible course. It's an excellent course. And it helps you to sort of picture the overarching story of Scripture together and also dig into that a little bit. But it helps you to sort of piece the jigsaw. The Bible can be difficult to understand. Is it just, I mean, me? Anyone else? The Bible sometimes is hard to kind of pull together. The Bible course is excellent. But you'll see on this, you won't see very clearly actually on this picture, but on this picture, when they did the Bible course, they made the Bible course and produced it. Somebody made this fantastic little wooden structure, which when you do the course, you understand more about what it is. But at the beginning, we see in that little circle at the beginning there's a picture of a tree. And at the end, there's a picture of a tree. And about three quarters of the way along, we see there's a cross. And those three factors are the focal points. They're the book ends and the bookmark in the story, because life is central to the whole story. There's a tree at the beginning. And they're walking, there's a garden, a beautiful garden, which is full of life and perfection. And it's just it's paradise, it's Eden, it's everything that God intended it to be. But there's one tree that Adam and Eve are told not to eat from. But they do. And they choose to do so. And so death and destruction and everything that's bad enters into the experience of humankind. But it's all working towards a tree of life at the end that we can partake of, that we can enjoy, that we can have the fullness of life in. But those between those two trees, the turning point, the bookmark, the place which changes everything is the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And upon the cross where he died, he did so to bring us into life. And in his death, we find the fullness of life. Life is central to the person and the purpose of Christ. Not only is it central to what he did during his earthly ministry, it's central to who he says he is. In John 14, familiar passage to many of us, he says this, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's talking to his disciples and he's saying, you know the way to the place that I'm going. And they're like, we've got no idea where you're going. He doesn't give them a roadmap, doesn't give them a sat nav, doesn't give them Google Maps on his mobile phone. He points them to himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is our route to all that God wants us to have. He didn't describe himself as the way to truth and life. He describes himself as the life. Life itself is embodied and defined in who Jesus is. And as the body relies upon food and water to live, so the inner person needs Jesus to truly live and to draw upon the well of life that he has, the vibrancy that he has for us. I know that I came in at 9 o'clock, 9:30 this morning. The musicians came to get ready at 9:30. And we could already smell jacket potatoes being prepared downstairs for the students. And my tummy was already starting to say, my nose, my senses were alive. Oh, if only spiritually the world around us would be so aware of its hunger and its thirst and its need for Jesus, that just a sniff of worship or just a sniff of healing taking place in people's life, just a sniff of a testimony, of a story of how God has transformed my life and taken it from darkness to light would awaken the senses and get them smelling, saying, "Ah, this is what I'm longing for. This is what I need. This culture, this time, this age needs Jesus." And as the body relies upon food to be sustained and water to live, so the people, we and the people around us, need to draw upon the life that Jesus offers. In John 6, he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Obviously, we want a vibrant church, right? Listen, sometimes we have children within our meetings. There are certain times of the year where we maybe don't have the children or the opportunity to go downstairs. And I know that sometimes the noise of children crying or the noise of children playing in the room can be a distraction. But let me tell you, the majority, the vast majority of churches in the UK would love to have the sound of children distracting them. And so I love that we have all ages represented here at Elim Aberystwyth. And we celebrate the fact that I'm being distracted right now by the sound of children's music downstairs. God wants us to have life in all of its fullness. That's why Jesus described himself as having been incarnate and come to earth and live out his ministries, that we might have life in all of its fullness. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The first part of that, we often look at the second part of that, but we also need to be aware of the first part, that there is an enemy, that there is a thief, that there is an agency at work in the earth to try and bring death and destruction and to distract people from the life that Jesus is offering. And the lie that the enemy has always wanted us to believe right from the Garden of Eden, the lie that he wants us to believe is that less of God means more for us. The first lie was, did God really say that you can't eat from that tree? I mean, why would he say that? I mean, you know, surely you'll be more like God if you have the knowledge of what that tree can give you. You should have a taste. Make yourself, you know, alongside God. And that's always been the lie. Did God really say that that's going to damage your soul if you engage in that sexual immorality? Did God really say that you shouldn't throw all of your energy and your life into the pursuit of money for the sake of having wealth? You know, surely if you've got more wealth, you can. And this is not about wealth being wrong in and of itself, but it's about who's controlling who. Am I controlling that, or is that controlling me? And we want our lives to be led by God, led by his spirit, led by the truth of his word, so that we can embrace the life that he has for us. And the lie the enemy has always wanted us to believe is that if we can have a little bit of that, which God has said we shouldn't, then actually we're going to be more alive than if we don't. The truth is, if we pursue those things which God has wisely told us are going to damage us, then we are going to be partaken of that which brings destruction to us. And the lie is that what God has told us is harmful offers something better than what his promises and his purposes are. So, you know, our flesh believes that if I pursue that thing, that's going to give me something more than God can offer me. We want the world to know that there is nothing better or more than what God offers. And that's what we want to run after, and that's what we want to pursue. And we can be deceived by the father of lies, which is what scripture calls the enemy, or we can be freed by the Father of lights. In James 1, it says this: when tempted, because we are all tempted, including Jesus, when tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged down by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. He does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And we have choices day by day by day. There's a choice that is a destructive choice, and there is a choice that is a life-giving choice. And each one of us will face this afternoon a destructive choice and a life-giving choice. And each one of us, at some point in our journey, will choose the destructive choice. But the amazing thing is that through Christ, the gateway to life is always open, if we will just choose his route. So I hope that's created and equipped us with a picture of the kind of life, the vibrancy, the fullness of what true fullness of life can look like, and the adventure of what following Jesus can be. And I just want to talk a little bit about some of how I enjoy or picture and celebrate that vibrancy in the life of Elim Aberystwyth. I believe that one of the things which is wonderful about our church is to see nations united in vibrant cultural diversity. I love the fact that we can look around the room and have so many different nationalities. I should have done a survey and found out how many different nationalities we've got in this little room on the west coast of Wales. But we've got loads of people from different nations, of different parts of different nations, and we are here in diversity. Right back 600 years ago before Jesus, Isaiah wrote some words in Isaiah 56 in the prophecy. It says, "Also the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord, to attend to his service and to the love of the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath so as not to profane it and holds firmly to my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." Now, this was the temple of Israel. This was the holy place. This was the special dwelling of the God of Israel. And here, Isaiah the prophet points to a day when all the nations will be welcomed. And it doesn't just mean that as we apply it now to the New Testament and we've seen the unfolding of that prophecy, it doesn't just mean that our church buildings, and I love it, sometimes you see, don't you, written on walls in churches, "My house will be a house of prayer for all nations," and you'll maybe see some different flags of things that people are praying for, and that is absolutely right, and that is what we want to see. But when the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah is not that our buildings are to be places where nations are prayed for, it is to be a house where all the nations pray together, and all nations are welcome, and all the peoples and all the language and all the tribes and all the tongues, if they will come and they will confess the name of Jesus, they will receive that life that he offers, and his house will be a vibrant, diverse house of prayer for all nations. Amen. And of course, we pray for the nations of the earth and the people groups of the earth. But we want to express that within the life of who we are as Elim Aberystwyth. It means that we, the people, the temple itself, now in the New Testament understanding of what the temple is, we are a house of prayer for all nations. So we seek to welcome, celebrate, and pray for the nations here at Elim Aberystwyth. And one of the things which I think is just such a simple expression of the life of God is that we're vibrant in our worship. We want to be vibrant. We want to not have every song as a fast song. Don't get me wrong, but there should be, the fullness of life should be expressed in the way that we respond to God and we praise him together. So we do actively seek to be vibrant in the way that we express our worship And in Revelation 7, we get a little picture of some of the worship that's going on in heaven. And again, it's a picture of diversity of people from every nation. And the writer John says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" Jesus-centered, vibrant, diverse, loud. It's all right to be loud sometimes. It is also, church, all right to be quiet sometimes. But this is a picture of exuberant, expressive, palm waving worship. And we want to express the vibrancy and the life and the excitement and the enthusiasm and the vibration. Sometimes you just got to shake yourself up, haven't you? Or is it just me? Yeah? This morning I had to shake myself up. Let me tell you, I didn't want to get out of bed this morning, and I had to. Come on, let's do this. We want to be vibrant in our expression of what our times of worship and our times of fellowship and our style of how we do things. We want to be like that. But we want to be unitedly vibrant. In that picture, we see an innumerable multitude of people from all nations as one family centered on Jesus, who is, elsewhere in Scripture, described as the hope of all nations. So we embrace the vibrant mix of cultures, languages, and nations in our worship to the Lamb. Amen? I wonder if we could, everybody in the room could say praise the Lord, but if you speak another language, if you have a different language that you're fluent in or that represents your own home tongue, then perhaps you could shout it out loud in your language and we'll hear different languages expressing praise to God. How does that sound this morning? Can we do that? Just whatever, if you speak another language, speak it. And if you don't speak another language, just say, praise the Lord. Okay, you ready? I'm going to count to three and we're going to hear the praises of the Lord in different languages this morning. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Oh, sounds good, doesn't it? Can you imagine around the throne all the languages and the tongues and the tribes? And I believe that when we praise God that way on earth, we are carrying out kingdom activity on the earth. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. I believe we are actually actioning some of that prayer as we worship him in spirit and in truth with the diversity and the vibrancy and the joy that he gives us. Amen? So we want to be vibrant because Jesus offers us that fullness of life. We want to be vibrant in our expression of our meetings and our church services and our worship and our diversity and everything that comes with that. But we also want to be vibrant in the way that we live our lives. We want to be vibrant as individuals. We want to breathe life into the places that we work, the places that we live, the places that we mix, the places that we play football. We want to be life bringers and life givers. Again, it's not about being that, you know, super energetic, extrovert, lively person. It's about bringing life and love and light and truth and grace into situations. Ezekiel has this incredible vision of the river that flows from the temple. And if you haven't read it before, then I really encourage you. Ezekiel 47. And what happens is this river flows from the temple. We'll just read a short amount of it here. Verse 9, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Understand that the idea was you went to the temple, to the place where the presence of God was. And sometimes we have this idea about church, don't we? We come to church because we need to be in the presence of God. But the interesting thing about this picture of the temple is the further this river went from the temple, the deeper it got. And the greater the expression of life that it brought was. And we want to be those who bring life away from the context of our own meetings, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, living out the life and the vibrancy that God has given us, living life to the full. And the life of God flowing in the river was not confined to the temple. It got deeper, more vibrant as it flowed, bringing life even to what was described as the Dead Sea. And you may look at your workplace. You may look at your family situation. You may look at your scenario where you spend your time and feel like there's no life there. Jesus can't be expressed in that context. But as you go, as you carry his life, you're bringing life into those places. You're bringing light into the darkness. The presence of God is with us as we bring and share the life that he's given us, life in all of its fullness, with those in the world around us. So we want to be a church who understand the fullness of life that Jesus offers, who seek to help one another live within the boundaries of his truth and making life-giving choices and decisions and avoiding destructive and unhelpful and unholy choices. We want to be those who celebrate together in a vibrant way, who express the life of God as we gather in our meetings, as we gather in our smaller groups, as we gather and do our different activities, whether they're social or prayer meetings or whatever else it is that we're doing. We want the life of God to be expressed. But we also want to be those who bring life into the world that is so thirsty, that see that river of God flowing from the temple. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It's the promise that Jesus gives us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we think of that phrase about being the temple of the Holy Spirit, we think of it as just being a holy place to be sanctified and looked after, and that's what the temple was. But here from Ezekiel, we see a picture of life flowing from the temple. And as the people of God, we should be life-flowing, giving people. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be just writing that card or that note to this person that you know is going through a tough time. It can be just saying, "Shall we get a coffee?" It can be so simple, just bringing life and giving life, being available. Do you need someone to talk to? Please, I'm available. Let's bring that life to the world around us, and let's be Elim Aberystwyth, a people who are vibrant. Does it make a little bit more sense now what I mean, what we mean when we say we want to be a people who are vibrant? We want to be full of life and enthusiasm for the gospel and the truth and the life of God, the life that the Creator gives us and offers us. And we want to express that, and we want to impact the world with that life. Amen? Okay, let's just close our eyes for a moment. We're going to pray, and then we're going to finish with a praise song, a vibrant praise song. But I just want to give the opportunity, if there's anybody this morning who has never embraced the life of Jesus, that reality of the truth of who he is, hasn't stepped into the fullness of life that he would want to offer them. And today, you feel this is the right time to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and to receive the salvation that he offers. This might be the opportunity for you to do that today. So, whilst eyes are closed, and I'll be the only person who's aware of it, just ask if that's you, and you would like to give your life to following Jesus for the first time today. Just raise your hand, and I'd love to just lead you in a prayer and help you express that decision and look at what that might mean for you to walk as a follower of Jesus. Okay. There's nobody in the room this morning, but there may be somebody online who's wanting to know more about what that might look like. There may be somebody in the room who's wanting to explore that thought and that decision and what it might look like for them. Please talk to the person who brought you to church, or someone from the leadership team, or someone who you know and trust in the life of church. And nothing would give us more joy than praying with you and helping you begin that journey of walking with Jesus. And if you're online, please email us, info@elamabraswith.com, or get in touch with us in some way, and we would love to help you in that walk with Jesus. So let me just pray for us all then, and pray for Elam Aberystwyth. Lord, I pray, as the musicians come, Lord, I pray that you would help us and strengthen us and fill us with your spirit, so that we can express your life and your vibrancy, so that we can be a life-giving body of people who bring life to the world around us and see an expression of the life of God on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.